Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galati, along with me, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. It's Mike Villagrana. Mike, how are we doing this week?
We're doing good. One week closer to kickoff, September 5th. Getting excited. It's that time of year now, Jim. We're starting to talk more football rather than, you know, courts and appeals and eligibility and Greg Sankey complaining and all that. And then this week we have they saved the best for the last with the Big Ten media days.
Yes. And I'll tell you what's funny is we could tell this, you and I, of course, we were scheduled to start recording half hour ago, but you and I have too much to talk about on the side before we even get to that. And you asked me, oh, you want to talk about Greg Sankey? No, I don't.
Yeah. Well, it's just funny because I just think it's really interesting, fascinating, the tone from Greg Sankey 5 years ago to today. It's completely different, threatening to, you know, part ways with the NCAA. It's like, what are we doing, guys? You know, like, but I'm glad Big Ten is, you know, following it up as the big boys as they are these days. So it's going to be cool. And on that, you know, I was part of I had a small part in the event this past week at Harper's. If you don't know, is a really nice, nice place that it's been in downtown. I don't want to throw any of that, but it's been there forever. You know, the suits and all that. It's really, really nice. And they treat our guys well. And then, you know, the guys that are going to be going there, Donka and Rocco and Tony Rojas, you know, they fitted them up for their suits. And those guys are going to look clean and they're going to represent as well. I'm sure they are. Those three guys are going to be great this week. I'm looking forward to them going through the car wash. And, you know, what I appreciate about our guys is they don't sound like robots, right? I complain about that all the time in these media days, these kids, just because they sound like robots. That's not our kids, right? They're articulate. They're smart. They're wise. You know, I think they're going to bring a lot to the table when we hear them this week at Big Ten Media Days. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I'll throw one more in because, as you well know, we've been doing these events where we interview, you know, 3-4 players at each event, and we've had, five of them? So we're at like 15 or 20 players we spoke to, and everything you described is true. But the one thing you forgot to mention, they're funny.
Yeah, I think it's part of the culture that, you know, that Matt Campbell and his new staff is building. You know, you get a sense that these kids are very comfortable. Not call them kids, but these players are very – the staff and the players are very comfortable with each other. It's genuine, right? It doesn't seem like they're forced. You know, it's just – I think, you know, from the time they've gone here, they've done a really good job transitioning to what, you know, Matt Campbell and the staff wants to – build here, and one of the biggest things is culture, and you can kind of see that radiate from these players just when they're around each other, and we've seen it kind of evolve organically from our first show to the last show. We talked about it on the side, you know, when we're, you know, getting preparing for the next show. It's like, man, talking about the transition isn't even a thing anymore, right? Like in the shirt, that was very interesting. Now it's like, well, yeah. That's like old news, which I think is pretty impressive for the, you know, the small amount of time that Coach Campbell and the staff has had to get there. So it's pretty neat to see. I couldn't be more. I was talking to one of my best friends from Youngstown yesterday. He's a coach in Columbus now, and we were just talking about like how, like, I couldn't be more excited about this season because there's so many unknowns. A lot of people don't even know the players like that. Yeah. So, like, the product coming on the field, I'm so excited about it because, you know, I've talked to you about it last week. Some of the national media, you know, saying 7-8 games, stuff like that. You know, I think this roster is built to really compete in the Big Ten this year. And I'm excited for this first game and for the fans to start talking about some of these guys that aren't household names but will be by game two and game three. I'm really excited about that because generally there's a lot of people are like asking about, you know, the defensive line, the defensive ends, you know, who's going to be the next Abdul or whatever. There are players on the defense on both sides of the ball that are going to be household names when it's all said and done. And I'm excited about that because it's completely different than last year where everybody in national media knew every player on our team basically because they were old, returning, you know, could have left for the NFL. Completely different story this year, but we still have a great roster.
And, you know, the point you made about the tone difference from our first one of these events and talking to the players where it wasn't, it's still valid to ask them about going from Iowa State to Penn State, their decision to, but what doesn't feel like a valid question anymore is how they get along as teammates. Are there two factions? Is there a Penn State returning faction? And is there an Iowa State faction? That seemed like a legitimate question the first couple of times. Now, I don't even ask that anymore because they look at me funny. Like, why are you asking that? Like, we're on the same team here. You know, if there's factions, it's like, okay, they've got their position group. That's where their buds are, you know, offense versus defense. And that's how they talk. So that's the situation, which is great. And the other thing, like I said, the stories they've relayed to us have been fantastic. I mean, you know, you ask Ryan Barker about not just the game-winning kick against USC, but how he reacted to the announcer afterwards. And it's not like, well, yeah. He gives this really fine answer. You know, it's like, I was caught off guard. I didn't know what to say. And all of a sudden, you get a feel for the kid. Or, you know, Dom Ruley, when we asked about, he's the guy on the field who had to call whether to do the fake punt or not. And I had previously talked to his dad, who was so proud of Dom for making that call and the play worked, and asking him about, and he gives us the whole background, not just of the play itself, which was funny. It's like, I didn't get acknowledgement from Luke Reynolds. I'm like, he better know we're doing this. It was so much fun and so much more than, you know, a single word yes, no answer like that. You really got a feel for what they were experiencing. And I think that's the insight that makes it fun to follow this team and get to know the players. So that's what it feels like so much of what you're doing, Mike, with HVU Insider, are these kind of events to let fans know who these players are, get to know some personalities.
Yeah, we talked about it from the beginning, and it's just the show that we've been doing. I think we have our sixth one coming up this week, yes. Wednesday, Pine Grove Hall. We're going to have Coach Mauser there, which is going to be awesome to talk to. I know we are big fans of him and his energy, his resume, what he's bringing to Penn State. Like, just seems like a very humble but very energetic guy, and I'm excited for you guys to ask him some questions and get to know him more. And to your point, the show, like when I sit back and I'm listening to these interviews, I'm learning with everybody else, right? Some of these things, some of these like small little things that we get out of these interviews are really neat for the fans. And we always say it, it's like when you see this, when you're at these events and you hear these guys, you feel closer to them. So then come Marshall, they make a big play, you're going to feel connected to them. And that is the best part of these shows, right, is bringing the fans closer to our players, right? Because we have a great product. We have great players like we talked about. Like they're all good kids, like I call them kids, but, you know, they all are articulate. They're smart. You know, and that's why I said Big Ten Media Days. I'm excited to see these guys represent us, you know, in a different way, not that robotic way that you've heard the past couple of weeks at other conferences, Media Days. But, yeah, the closeness to these guys is awesome. And the reaction from the audience has been awesome. I couldn't be happier about the show. I would say you and Chris Buganotti do a phenomenal job.
I appreciate you saying that. And you're mentioning, you know, we're going to get a chance to talk with Coach Mauser. I think we're going to talk some X's and O's with him. I'm going to let Chris do that. He'll know, understand X's and O's better than me. The guy I was so intrigued with and wanted so badly to talk to was Derek Hoosier. And I anticipated it so much. I built it up so much in my head, Mike. I was afraid I might be disappointed, you know, like,
yeah.
Instead, he exceeded my expectations. And the way he especially did it was I was surprised with how candid he was. And if you talk about the Iowa State players coming, I looked at it, listened, and said, gee, every single good player from Iowa State that you could possibly have wanted, Penn State brought over, except for two. There were two guys. And I thought, well, there might be a negative story about either one of them, whatever. I didn't ask about them. But he literally brought up those guys, named the names, and talked about the background of, gee, well, that's a position we were already filled with Penn State players. You know, we could. And this was a real good defensive back who ended up at USC. So for him to talk about that and share that, I thought was phenomenal. And the other great line takeaway that I went from this was when he said, I didn't think, you know, that Coach Campbell would stay at Iowa State forever, but I knew it would be, yeah, for Penn State he would move.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting comment.
Yeah, I mean, that whole interview was just gold nuggets, like, all throughout the interview. I remember talking to him after. I'm like, man, that was awesome. I mean, myself, you know, my experience, and I definitely didn't have to do what he had to do, but in a smaller capacity at the previous schools, like, I couldn't have more respect for that guy and what he's doing in these times and how he's adapting. There's so much that those guys have to deal with externally, internally, on a day-to-day basis. And you know, I think even throughout the past week, I've seen these guys, like, they've opened themselves up to a lot of the media outlets, a lot of the podcasters, you know, some of the recruiting services and stuff like that. Like, it's really nice to see that, because you really get to know them. And the more you get to know them, you're going to root for them. Because I've had the opportunity to really get to know Hooj and some of these guys. And I just really like them as, you know, human beings. And I think they're really good at what they're doing and what they're bringing to the table. So it's easy to root for them, especially when you hear, you know, that interview with you and Hooj just talking normal. And he was very honest. He didn't shy back from anything.
No, he did not. All right. That's it for quarter one. We're going to talk some real Penn State football when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. With me is Executive Director of HVU, Happy Valley United. That's Mike Villagrana. I'm Jim Galante, quarter number two of our show. And Mike, we were just wrapping up in quarter one talking about, we got the chance to talk with Derek Hoosier a few weeks ago. I just want to throw in a couple things that were not on stage in front of people, but ahead of time, I got a chance to talk with Derek before we went on stage. It was my first chance to meet him. Two things really stuck out to me in talking to him before we got on stage. I kind of asked if there's anything off limits, and he just said, bring it on, whatever you want, which was fantastic of him. And the other thing, which again, we didn't talk about on stage, but this was not long after know, Penn State didn't get Peter Bork, the four-star quarterback who went to Virginia Tech, but they did get Will Wood, the three-star quarterback from Massachusetts. I asked him about Will Wood, and this was not performative. This was not fit. His eyes lit up. Oh, we love him. And, you know, and all of a sudden, we always do this recruiting conversation in the three-star versus the four-star. But I walked away from that feeling like, okay, he really does, you know, love this kid. So I thought that was great to hear. It was candid. And like I said, I thought it was very authentic.
Yeah, you know, and to that, I think it's a product of them doing just grinding since they've gone here to build up a depth at each position for recruiting. I've talked about this in the past. I think what was glaring to me was that running back room, depth of that board. I was like, every guy on that board was 5'6" deep, was like a legit dude. They were evaluated to the T. Staff felt great about all of them, and all of them kind of had their own little niche and brought something different to the table. And then, you know, after you go through the ups and downs of the recruitment, you know, we have a great running back on our board. And that's just to the depth that they provide. So, you know, with the quarterback position, like you're talking about, you know, yeah, the Peter Bork was a guy on the board, obviously, but they had other guys that they liked similarly. So because you have to do that, because you're not going to get everybody that you want. So kudos to the staff. That's just the staff doing their due diligence and making sure they have depth at each position.
And, this is, I know, a bit reading between the lines, and maybe I'm spinning it a bit, but these weren't his words. These are mine reacting to him. I almost felt like after hearing him say this that I wonder if they actually like Will Wood better than Peter Bork. It just, the enthusiasm seemed there and so legitimate that it made me wonder that. Again, I'm not, you know, he didn't mention other names, but just something to think about. We'll see how careers turn out. But anyway, I promised we'd talk about the current team. So let's do that, Mike. What I thought we could do is just you help me out here, okay? As I want to take a look at this roster a bit, go through positions, go through the coordinators a little bit, and just give you some of the questions I have by position by position. Now, you know, I'll start at the quarterback position where I think Rocco Beck is probably about as sure a thing as there is out there. He's mature, he's experienced, he's all of that. I think the question at the quarterback position is only, God forbid something happens to Rocco Beck, where do they turn? There's the young guy in Alex Mansky who this coaching staff obviously really likes. They brought him along from Iowa State, but he missed spring practice. So they did bring in Connor Berry, a small school veteran quarterback, but looking at it from the outside, that's my big concern. What happens if Rocco Beck goes down for a game or two?
Yeah, you know, I think we've talked about this in the past, and I think the fall camp is going to be the real position battle here is for the backup, right? Who's going to kind of take on that next role of like, okay, this guy's in the next, right? If Rocco, you know, needs a breather or gets dinged up a little bit, you know, who's the guy that's going to be the next? And so I think that's going to be between, you know, you got Falzone, you got Case Evans, you got obviously Alex Mansky. Mansky is a little bit unproven right now to the staff just because of the spring and not being able to be out there. And you talked about Barry coming in, and that was one of the low-key, like, best acquisitions because he was able to come in and operate the offense like Taylor Mauser and Coach Campbell wanted to this spring. So that was a really big thing. So I think he's got a real chance too. So it's going to be interesting. Mansky's high school tape or his film is really good. Like the kid can sling it. I remember asking Trace McSorley before he left for the NFL ranks his thoughts on that room at that time. And he loved Mansky. Really thought he could be a dude. And then you have Peyton Falzone. I know through his recruitment, you know, there was a lot of like, man, he's a pretty special athlete. You know, could he be a tight end, a receiver, could he play defense, or is he truly a quarterback? Well, he's gone the quarterback route. I think he's done a really good job there, so he's going to be in the running for that as well. And then you have Case Evans as well. So it's going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing that because that's going to tell you what happens after the season, right? So what if there isn't a really defined number two, you know, through fall camp, through the first couple games, then it's going to be, okay, we're going to have to maybe look at the portal potentially. And you also got to consider that we do have Will Wood, who you talked about in the last segment, that, you know, the staff and Hoosiers very high on coming in. So you have all those variables that you got to kind of take a look at, but it will play itself out come this fall or come basically in less than a month when they start camp.
And you make the great point that this isn't just about who's going to be the backup to Rocco Beck this year if he gets dinged up. This could set the course for the, you know, the 27 season, who's going to establish himself. And, you know, I remember several years back when Drew Aller came in as a freshman, he won the backup role to Sean Clifford, which made it pretty clear who was going to be the starting quarterback the following year.
That's a tricky position too in these times, right? Because you're going to see people leave, come and go. Only one quarterback's out there, you know? So
yeah,
these guys, and then you got to think of it from a front office standpoint too, because now these guys are usually the highest earners on the roster. So, you know, if a guy isn't playing, you're sitting on dead money, essentially, right? So you have that from the front office side, and then you have the player's side where he wants to play. And so that's why you see so many quarterbacks jumping in this day and age. So it's all going to play itself out. It's definitely not going to look like it looks right now next year. That's for sure. So and is it Will Wood coming in? Is it Mansky, you know, coming out finally clear to practice and just looks like the dude and it's not even close? Or is it nobody's the defined next guy up and they got to look at portal? And then you look at the portal, it's like, okay, what kind of guy do you want to go after in the portal, right? Is it a guy that's going to come in and it's just obviously just going to take the spot? Or is it going to be a guy that you're going to ask to compete, which is, you know, obviously that leads to some other tricky questions and some decisions you're going to have to make.
You do have to plan ahead and then be prepared for half the room to leave anyway. So it is a tricky position. And the most important point to it is, as you said, you got one guy out there, as opposed to running back, where we've seen, you know, the last 4 years, we had two premier running backs, and that was okay. In fact, it's probably desirable for everybody involved. You know, there's only so much tread on those tires, and for Nick Singleton and Catron Allen to split the reps was probably helpful to both of them. We've got a similar situation now where you have Carson Henson coming in, who was the number one guy at Iowa State. You'd think he's going to be 1-1A, along with James Peoples, great pedigree coming in, transferring from Ohio State. And then we all saw, you know, a glimpse of what Quentin Martin can do. We saw that in the Pinstripe Bowl. So I suspect Henson and Peoples come in as the advantage of being 1-1A. But what about Quentin Martin then, Mike? How do you get him on the field?
That's what I'm really excited to see. These three guys, I know we just lost two NFL guys, but these guys aren't a downgrade at all. And then you got to factor in the new offensive scheme, right? So how's Coach Taylor Myers going to incorporate all three of these guys? What's this offense going to look like personnel-wise? What's he going to really kind of run out there with? I think what we've seen is going to be tight end heavy. We're going to want to smash the ball, but also air it out a little bit. So this room plus the offensive scheme and what I think Coach Mauser is aiming for this fall is going to be – it's setting up for a fun offense, I think, because you have these three guys that are all different, in my opinion. Carson Hansen is kind of the cowbell. Is going to be able to, you know, get you those tough yards, and just he's going to be a durable every down type back. But then you have James Peeple, who's very elusive, and I, I feel like, to me, like, he's the most natural running back, especially when he gets to the second level, some of his decisions, his patience, his vision. Like, he's just really smooth to me. I've been saying that ever since seeing him in spring a little bit. And then Quentin Martin is always one of my guys that I'm rooting for. He's similarly explosive, like James People, maybe even more from what I've seen from him. You know, last year during fall camp, I'm like, oh man, this guy's going to be pressing for playing time because he's having such a good camp. And, you know, there was obviously with the two NFL guys sitting there, they were like NFL vets, so they weren't taking as many reps, and that was, and he took advantage of that. So this room is like really good, and I'm excited to see how they're going to be able to mix them up, and everybody kind of gets their share of the ball. But I think it's going to be strategic too. And then it's going to be interesting to see how in the passing game, how are these guys used? Quentin, James Peoples, you know, they have good hands, they have that skill set. So it's going to be fun to watch this room. This is definitely one of our strong positions on across the board, in my opinion.
And you know, we talked with Quentin Martin. His eyes lit up when we asked about catching the ball. He had some of that wide receiver experience in high school. I feel like that they can, you know, get him on the field with another running back out there, and all of a sudden, what looks like, you know, a run heavy formation, he ends up out wide, becomes a receiver for you. I just think that could lead to some big plays, Mike. All right, that's it for quarter two. I'll let you respond to that when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante, with me, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. It's Mike Villagrana and the brains behind HVU Insider. It's quarter number three of our show. Speaking of HVU Insider, you guys got something new going on with this Club 814. What's going on with that, Mike? How about sharing with us a bit?
Yeah, since we started this platform, I think it was like over 5 months ago, we went from zero subscribers to almost 8,000 subscribers just on the platform alone. And now we, part of the plan is just like these phases we're rolling out. And Club 814 was one of the plans, one of the big things that we wanted to roll out and we're really excited about. It's a Letterman-driven initiative for the Letterman to bring back, come back and engage with the fan through the platform, right? And that is, you know, doing interviews, doing exclusive interviews, some Ask Me Anything type of chats on our message boards. It's just a really cool way to bring them back, right, and engage, because a lot of these guys want to give back, right? And it doesn't just have to be like money and donations and stuff like that. They can give back about talking about their stories. And I think some of the stuff you saw that we posted out there on our social channels, Adam Taliaferro, his interview is phenomenal, right? He didn't have an NFL career, right, because it was cut short due to injuries. But he is having an amazing post-career in the work field with politics, and he's a lawyer and very successful and very well-respected by his peers. And then you have Allen Robinson, 10-year vet, talking about how out of all the stadiums he's playing in, it still doesn't compare to a Penn State home game. So just like little tidbits about that. He has a really cool story about the catch versus Michigan. He's a Michigan guy. Going recapping stuff like that is really cool. And it's just another opportunity for us to continue to bring back other Letterman, which we're going to be excited about announcing more Letterman that is going to be part of that club. So that's something that's really neat. I know the platform There's so many things out there, right? So the platform for me, it's in a good place right now, and I want to be able to educate people on the things that we're doing, so they get excited about it. And this is something that we're really excited about.
I love the fact that what differentiates it is access, you know, to players, to staff, to Letterman, a lot of really good things going on.
And it's a win-win, right? Because, you know, they have, you know, things that they support and, you know, fund, and they have foundations and certain initiatives that they want to promote. And so in return, that's what we can do. We can put that out in front of the fans so they can get engaged with, you know, certain initiatives and foundations that they have going on. So it's really kind of a win-win for everybody. And obviously, you know, you see some of these foundations that they have going on. You're like, man, these guys are really impressive.
Oh, yeah. And again, it was like the conversation about the current players. I think you could say the same thing about the Letterman. A lot of very impressive people who've gone on to do some really great things, and not necessarily all of it in the NFL. All right, let's get back to our conversation about the players. We were talking about the running backs, and, you know, I finished up quarter number one talking about, you know, getting Quentin Martin out there, two running backs, and all of a sudden, you know, Quentin Martin with his wide receiver capabilities motions out, becomes a dangerous receiver. You were getting ready to respond. I'm sure you were getting ready to say, gee, Jim, what a brilliant football mind you have. Was that not what you were going to say, Mike?
Yeah, it was. It was. And then I pivoted during the break. What I was going to say is, you know, we talk about Hanson, we talk about Peoples, and we talk about Q Martin. But we had him on the show, and Cam Wallace is another guy that we got to watch out for. You know, he's an impressive kid, you know, talking to him, and, you know, he's gone through a lot of injuries. But, man, did he flash last year when he did play? Busting a hurdle like Saquon Barkley. So I think we got a lot of talent there. And I don't think the newbie, Deontay Sheffy, the local state college stud, he's going to be walking on. I'm kind of excited to see him because I got to watch state college last year, and he's a heck of a player, a really good player. So that room is looking really good. I'm excited about that room. It's one of our strongest rooms, I think.
I think so, too. And it was interesting because I've heard some folks say you had two NFL players here, two record-breaking NFL players playing for the last 4 years. And, yes, you're going to miss them, and it's going to be different. But I think it's really good. I think it's a loaded room. I'm with you, Mike. I can't wait to see these guys play. Now, of course, a big part of the offense is the offensive line. It affects how you pass the ball. It affects how you run the ball. And all of a sudden, Mike, they appear to be, you know, pretty set with who we're going to see as, you know, that opening starting line, even though, like at left tackle, we've been talking about Malachi Goodman for so long, five-star kid, stud, hasn't been out there yet. But with some of the quotes, it sounds like, you know, hey, young guy, you got to earn it, though, in the fall. You know, you don't just walk on the field and have the position. The other interesting one is at center, where there's Brock Riker, Dom Rooley, who I know you and I both really love the kid. But there's some – they absolutely love Brock Riker and his capabilities at center.
Yeah, we found that out on the show with Derek Hoosier. We think, you know, from their standpoint, they think he's one of the best centers in the league. And they're not just going to say that, just to say that. Yeah. He was also another impressive kid that we had on our show. So, I feel really good about Riker. I know there's a lot of questions about Malachi Goodman. Malachi Goodman was a five-star for a reason. He wasn't hard to see that he's a five-star. And he looks like what an NFL left tackle should look like. He's got the athletic ability. He's got the size. He's got the, you know, the demeanor, the physicality. And now he's got a new, you know, he's got Coach Clanton, who I think all of the linemen have really become to really like a lot and trust. And just seeing Coach Clanton out there, it's awesome. It's awesome to see him and those guys and how their demeanor is this year.
And each one of them that we've spoken to, offensive linemen, they speak so highly of him. They speak highly of him, and they also tell interesting stories about him. You could tell they love the guy.
Yeah, with his cutoffs and all that. He's awesome. Yeah. He's a great dude, Clint. Great dude.
Boy, we got to get him for one of these shows.
We do.
Then I tell you what, my favorite position, I love the tight ends. I know you do too. We've talked about it. All I'm going to say about the tight ends, and I'll let you respond, is I think they're deep, they're talented, there's star potential, there's depth. Anything you want to talk about, I think this tight end room has it.
Yeah, it's kind of a similar story to last year, right? It was a loaded tight end room, and we were talking at this time last year about how are they going to get everybody the ball, especially with two NFL running backs in the backfield. So it's kind of a similar thing, you know, bringing in Ben Brommer, who's going to be the number one tight end one, all Big 12 player, looks the part. And then Gabe Burkle doesn't really get talked about. He's about to be on our show come Wednesday. Looking forward to his interview because he's a great kid. Great personality. And then obviously Andrew Rapley, my favorite. I think he's a future NFL star. And not to say that the other two aren't, but I just know more about him. And I think he is the all around type. He reminds me of how he plays reminds me of one of my all time favorites, even though he plays for one of the all time worst teams I hate, is Jeremy Shockey. He has that like mentality. He's very loose. He's going to block the hell out of you. He's going to block the hell out of you in the run game and the pass game and down the field. And then he's going to be dangerous with the ball in his hands. I think we're going to see a big jump with him. Like we saw Mike Gesicki, because remember Mike Gesicki was like an unbelievable athlete, right? And I'm using him as an example because that's when my time here, my first stint. And I remember seeing him at practice and Mike, and I'm like, geez, this guy is unbelievable, freakish, right? And then in the game, you know, he would be almost like he was like a baby reindeer, like out there with the ball in his hands. And it took 1 year of development, and you saw a huge jump when he had that when he had the ball. Then he was more comfortable. He knew what to do. He knew how to make you miss. And then obviously now he's still, you know, he's going to end up having a 10 plus year career in the NFL. I see the same kind of jump with Rap to the for this season. And also, I'm going to get shirts made because my daughter, my 7-year-old daughter, that's her favorite player, and he's now Rap B Poo Poo. That is that is his name. I don't think I've told him that yet, but I have to tell him that. I think he'll be okay with it since it's my daughter.
Oh, that's hilarious. But what's interesting in talking about these guys is Gabe Burkle, who you said we're going to have on. I saw a recent quote from the staff. I think it was Matt Campbell even, who said he's an NFL quarterback. I just recently saw one of these mock drafts for next spring. I read all of those things. I love those.
Yeah.
It had Rapelier being drafted in the first couple rounds. Yet, the third guy, Ben Brommer, is the guy that you mentioned as probably the lead guy. Okay? Yeah. So there's two NFL guys and the lead guy. So obviously, I think Brommer's going to be an NFL player also.
Brommer reminds me of like kind of what back in the – more of like the old school tight ends that Penn State used to, like maybe who's our guy, James? I'm screwing up his name. Played for the Steelers.
Oh, oh God.
Yeah, but
don't do that to me. Just keep going.
And like, my guy that plays for the Steelers now.
Not Freiermuth.
Like that's the kind of skill set I see from Brommer. But yeah, all three of those guys are NFL guys. And then then don't forget about Cooper Alexander, who you interviewed, who's a younger guy.
Yes.
And then Brian Kordovich and Finn Furmanek, also will be backups, but it'll be interesting to see how those play out, kind of like the quarterback room, because those three are really talented too. So I think this fall, they're going to be kind of competing every practice and every day to see
Jesse James.
Yeah, and like when you see Jesse James, I saw him at the golf tournament not too long ago. Huge. He looks like he can still play. That's what Bromer kind of reminds me of. Like that prototype body and build. Whereas like Rapp has kind of a more of a shocky look to him and athleticism to him. But yeah, I could talk about tight ends forever.
Well, I still have another question or two for you. We'll do that when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU Insider. And Mike, we were wrapping up last segment. We were talking about the tight ends, the position that I think you and I are both in such agreement. We love the tight ends, absolutely love them. And what's fascinating to me is the question, not just we talked about the individual talent there. They're at least three deep, and that's not even counting the young guys who might get a chance to play. But sticking with the three deep, they got three guys who could be NFL players. Okay, now the question is for Coach Mauser. How does he best use those, Mike? And you know we're going to see multi-tight end sets out there. What exactly does that do when you're able to put multiple tight ends on the field?
I think it's tough, especially with these guys and their skill sets, because they're just not blockers. They're all three are pretty well-rounded, in my opinion. So you can flex them out. You can try to get the mismatches, or you can condense them, motion them, and then you can just smash the ball with three very good blockers as well. So I think that puts a lot of pressure on defenses and is probably a nightmare for coordinators to plan for, because you got to be ready for them to pound the ball with two, three tight end sets, or they're going to be able to pass the ball because they're going to be able to split them out like their wide receiver. So that obviously just that presents some issues for a defensive coordinator.
And, you know, we've heard at Iowa State, they did do that. They did use two tight ends. They did use three tight ends. I think Cooper Alexander said, yeah, we used four tight ends. So we're probably going to see that. And also with the depth at running back, it's kind of a similar situation, isn't it, where you kind of put the defense in a quandary if you could put multiple running backs on the field who not only could run the ball but also could catch the ball.
Anytime that you can have that versatility with a player that has good hands and can block and well-rounded, it makes you that much more dynamic as an offense. So yeah, having those guys obviously is really good to have that skill set.
The other position now, of course, at on the offense, it's wide receiver. Where Penn State fans have a case of, you know, like it's PTSD talking about wide receivers. Every year it gets changed over, and I still get people send me questions for our show and comments. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. They're still down on the wide receiver position. That's what has been built up over the last several years. My feeling, my response has always been, you can't use the past to make any judgment about this year's group, because absolutely everything has changed. The guys in the room, the position coach, the coordinator, the head coach. And you're starting with a couple real good players in Chase Soule and Brett Eskelson, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it's fair for the fans to have some PTSD here. But from what I've seen from these guys, I think I talked about it on the show last week when I was in the facility getting some NIL stuff taken care of. I got to, you know, see all the guys come through, and they're long. Like all the, that receiver room is really long and athletic. I could call them avatars. But yeah, I think you're right with Chase Elwell. He's going to be an interesting player. You know, him coming over from Iowa State, long 6'3", 200 plus guy. And then you have, the White Shadow, for Brett Eccles, and then Kobe Howard, Karam Brookins. We had Zay Robinson, who's a young guy. Hopefully he can squeeze into the rotation. He's kind of more – he's not the long type. He's more of the – who do we refer him to?
Like K.J. Hamler.
K.J. Hamler, he's that type. And then there's a couple other guys that are unknowns. And then there's, you know, Peter Gonzalez, who had a really good year last year and then got banged up a little bit. It's going to be a really fun – I think – everybody in media, especially local media, is going to have their eyes on this room every day, because I think it's up. I think other than Chase and Brett, I think it's really up for grabs who the number three and four and how that rotation is going to look for the season. And then again, you know, whoever isn't really breaking that rotation, how do they develop this fall to position themselves to be the next in 27? It's going to be interesting. Yeah. So this is to me probably the biggest questions. I think they're in a really good position because they have a lot of different players and they're all dynamic in their own way. I think it's going to be interesting to see, because it's the same thing as last year too. We have all these great tight ends. We have all these great running backs. All right, who's going to step up in the receiver room, right, for those big plays? And I'm excited based off of, I think it was Kobe Howard or somebody that we had on the show say, oh, we're airing it out this year.
Oh, Coach, yeah.
To air it out.
I can't remember if that was Kobe or Zay who said that.
Yes. Yeah, it was Zay who was saying it. And he kind of said it with like a kind of a smile and laugh about it. Because I think it's like they know what's coming. They know that that the fans have been waiting for a receiving room that is dynamic. And I think they know they have it in that room. So I'm excited to see it, especially with – the notion that we're going to be airing it out, like that's fun. That's going to be exciting. And I don't think we've seen that at Penn State in a long time.
I think the other part to this too is a year ago, again, there were the three transfer wide receivers who had shown potential previously, but it was new offenses for them, new quarterback for them. How important it is for these guys, again, Soul and Eskelson, who are veterans from Iowa State with the same coordinator, but also, Mike, the same quarterback from a year ago.
That's a great point, Jim. That couldn't be a bigger piece of this and our success, because now those younger guys or the guys that aren't familiar with the offense, they're another coach, essentially, to help these guys pick up on the offense and the nuances and what they have to do and their assignments and everything. That's huge, right? Because the wide receiver room, I got to coach wide receivers for 1 year, and it's such a detailed type of position that I think a lot of people don't really give it credit to. They just think you just go out there be an athlete. There's so many nuances and details to the position that it changes per scheme. So having those two guys there as like I said, they're almost like additional coaches, and you have a Rocco Beck with the amount of snaps under his belt, like that is huge for these guys. That's why, like, I know this is the biggest question probably throughout the roster is this wide receiver room. I'm optimistic about it just based off of everything that I just laid out to you. And I think this room, I think we're going to have two or three guys step up and be household names.
You know, you may regret mentioning this, that you coach wide receivers, but that leads me to another question, okay? One of the criticisms over the last couple of years with this Penn State group has been the inability to get separation. And getting separation is not just about straight speed, okay? There's more to it. So when you see receivers who have that criticism, inability to get themselves open, as a coach, I know what it technically means, you by not being able to get open, but how do you coach that What can you improve on? How do you make that better when that's the situation?
Well, I think there's a couple of things, right? You have to be able to play fast, and you can't play fast if you really don't understand the scheme and the offense and what you're trying to do and what Coach Mauser and the coordinators are trying to do. I think having Rocco, having the two receivers come back, they're leading receivers that know this offense in and out, that's going to help get these guys open, because they're not going to be playing, you know, thinking and hesitating, right? They're going to be playing fast. Plus, also, the play calls, you know, got to be right. You know, they got to make sense versus what, you know, the defenses that we're going up against. So those are kind of all the things that I think that will help. Obviously, you know, they'll be coached on, you know, pressing them, getting them on their heels, all the technical stuff. You know, they'll have that down. But having the offensive scheme down and truly understanding it and all the different nuances, that's how you play fast, and that's how you get open, in my opinion. And I think you're going to see that.
Well, that's the situation that makes you quick, not just fast.
I say it all the time. Like, I you know, one of my favorite players that I got to coach ran a 4.8, right, kid out of Charlotte. But he was so much faster than everybody on the field, because he just lived football. Like, he understood everything, all the nuances, and he looked like he was like a 4.4 on the field, right? So, yeah, playing fast, understanding the game is really important.
And finally now, you know, let's talk about Coach Mauser, who's got the team. And are there indications of what we're going to see from him in this offense, knowing the personnel? There's multiple running backs, there's multiple tight ends, knowing what the wide receiver room looks like, a veteran quarterback like Rocco Beck. What does that indicate to you that we're going to see from Coach Mauser?
I think he's going to be able to open up the whole book, right? I don't think he's going to be like you would think he's a first year, like, all right, let's establish this offense and then build off of that, right? I don't think you're going to see that. I think he's going to be able to open up the entire playbook. I don't think he's going to be handcuffed at all because of guys' experience or lack thereof, because we have plenty of guys that do understand the offense. I think the only position we don't have an Iowa State guy is – no, that's not true, the offensive line, right? We have
Trevor Burr.
Iowa State, yeah. So, they're all over the field. And collectively, to me, that's going to go a long ways. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I haven't even thought about that. And that is so big. That is so big for us. And that makes me even feel better about the wide receiver room and the offense now that you said that.
Well, and I think the other thing is, you have the most veteran quarterback literally in the country.
Yeah, and just some things on Rocco, just – I always talk about the quarterback position. You know, the guy can be a five-star, but you just never know what you got until those lights go on and he is actually in the fire. This guy, we are so lucky to have this guy as a true leader, and just a phenomenal kid off the field. He has it that I always talk about.
Well, that's going to be great to see. And unfortunately, that's going to be it for the show. Mike, thank you so much. Yet.
We need like a 3-hour slot.
I'm going to talk to the bosses about that, Mike. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform, giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.